The following is a presentation of Project Independence and WCWP. Project Independence is the Aging in Place Initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. We provide programs and services designed to assist and support the older town residents who wish to remain in their homes as they age. If we don't currently provide a service, we will try and connect you to that service. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome to Project Independence and You.
Welcome to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Otto Loos. Good morning, Otto.
Hi, John. Good morning.
And we're going to have a very interesting show today. We have with us Deborah Heiser. Excuse me, is that right now?
Heiser.
I wrote it down phonetically, too. That's what I am. Anyway, we have Deborah with us. And Deborah actually was referred to the show from Councilwoman Veronica Lurvy. And I know Veronica for several years now. She's just a wonderful, wonderful person. And any referral coming from Veronica has to be a wonderful person also. So, Deborah, it's an absolute pleasure to meet you. And I'm going to let Deborah tell you about herself because it's a wonderful background. And just so Deborah knows, I'm a financial advisor, but I also have a master's in gerontology and thanatology, which is the study of death. So I'm very in tune with some of the stuff that you're working with. And I read your bio and it's tremendous. So I'm going to turn it over to you for you to introduce yourself because it's tremendous.
Okay, thank you. And thank you for having me today. It's a real privilege. And I have to say, you're spot on. Veronica Lurvy is just an amazing individual. She's such a caring person. So everything you said about her is correct. I've known her for years. I am an applied developmental psychologist. My specialty is aging, which when I got into the field didn't exist in the 90s to be a developmental psychologist who looks at aging. The difference in my area is that I look at what we should expect that's normal. I'm not looking for a pathology, whereas most psychologists are looking at pathology. I'm looking at what we should expect and how we look at life through the lens of positive and normal. So I started out in research in a large nursing home in New York City, studying depression and frailty and things that we have always expected in aging, right? People have always looked at the physical attributes that we have and how we can expect the decline to happen. And at one point, someone came to me and at a conference and he said, well, okay, you study aging. Why bother? What good can you be doing? I said, well, we're going to help people who are depressed to feel less depressed and those who are frail to be less frail. And he said, big deal. We have nothing to look forward to. And I was embarrassed, honestly. I thought, wow, I don't have an answer for him. So I went back and I took a look at everything that I was doing and I realized that I was missing the bigger picture. And so what I realized is that we have to look at the positive. What do we have to look forward to? And there's an absolute tremendous amount that we have to look forward to. And that changed the trajectory of how I was looking at aging research, how we look at how we can engage individuals. So what I embarked on was looking at how people feel as they get older. And what we know from a lot of research out there is that people are happier as they're older. 50-year-olds are happier than 20-year-olds. And we can expect to live feeling better about ourselves every decade. And that's something that 30-year-olds and 20-year-olds and even 40-year-olds often think that can't possibly be. But what we have are stages of our life. We're built to be this way. We're built to feel better. So while our physical trajectory goes up, when we're young, you know, we learn to walk, talk. When I was 15, I was a pretty fast runner, not anymore. But that ends up going down. We have a steep decline over the years. Any one of us in this room is probably not as good at sports as we were, when we were teenagers. But that most everyone I've ever talked with says it doesn't matter to me unless they were a professional athlete. It doesn't matter. I'm not looking to be as fast a runner. What we do have is our emotional trajectory, which starts out when we're born and goes up. It never declines. That goes up through our lifespan. And we often neglect to think about our emotional trajectory. And that's what carries us through our life. And when we hit the point of midlife, we want to give back. We feel connected with others. We feel engaged with our communities. We are built to want to leave our footprint. We want to be able to leave a legacy of our choosing. And these are the things that bring us satisfaction. These are the things that bring us joy. These are things that we look forward to. And I've been finding now that I've founded the Mentor Project that what we have thought of for so many years, mentors, people who give back, that we're burdening them somehow, that somehow we are asking something of people and they may want to say no to us because they're too busy or they feel burdened by our asking for something. But what I found is that, in fact, it's the opposite. I had a group of mentors who were some of the leaders in their fields. One is one of the founders of the Firewall. His work is in museums around the world. The other is Bob Cousins, who just won Inventor of the Year. And he's responsible for patenting how we use credit cards on the internet. So these guys made world change. And they said, we really want to give back. We want to be able to give our expertise to the next generation. We feel sort of cut off if we can't do that or disconnected. They've checked all the boxes in life and they want to keep going. And so we started the Mentor Project and I thought, gee, I wonder if we're going to really get very many mentors. And just a year later, we started with about 10 in the early 2020. We have more than 80 and we have a waiting list of top people who want to give back. It's not a burden. And they get such joy and pleasure out of it. Kids are able to express their joy at learning about like quantum mechanics or learning about things they never would have been exposed to at an early age. And our mentors are able to see that they're leaving the legacy of their choice to those that they want to. It's just beautiful. And so this is part of what we have to look forward to that a lot of people don't know about. And that's what I'm excited to be able to talk about today.
Deborah, when you're talking about each, say, decade of your life, you are, correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm listening to it and this is what I'm grabbing, you're happier. Is that, like what percentage? If we can get, I'm not looking for real statistics. And I do a lot of work with seniors and I do find, I don't find seniors as being a negative group of people whatsoever. They're loving, they're caring. And if people paid attention and listened to them, it's such a wealth of knowledge that they have to give us. But when you're putting this together, and I'm not looking for you to say you interviewed, 10,000 people and whatever, but just give me a feel for, because there is still a percentage of people that are not happy as they age. They left the 30s or they left the 40s or the 50s, whatever it happens to be. Obviously, sickness comes in and different things. And what you're saying is 100% right in my mind, and you have to fight it because you're 50, you're 60, you're 70, you're 80, you're 90, whatever you are. And you got to live in that moment. But that's my question, if it formulated into any sort of a question.
Sure. A lot of people ask that. Here's why it's confusing. We can expect about 50% of us across our lifespan can expect to feel symptoms of depression at some point. Whether that becomes actual depression or not, we can expect that. And there are certain factors that can lead to that. And that's particularly when we get older. That's cancer, diabetes, heart conditions, medications. So if you think about all of that, it sounds like, wow, that could be a lot. But
just keep holding thought. I have one other question. As we're going into that, what is the definition of depression?
I don't know that I can give you the exact DSM-5 diagnosis out of the book.
Not from a diagnosis point of view, but some people say they're depressed and they're really not. It's like walk around the block and you forgot about your depression.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I totally get what you're talking about. So yes, there are symptoms of depression, and you can be sad and not be depressed. I'll give you an example of something that can look like depression that isn't. If there's a loss of a loved one, you're expected to feel sad and down, and that's not depression. It can look like it, but it's not. It's not until it becomes, you know, that it's a year out or something, and a person then has not stopped feeling the same level of sadness. And so some things can look like depression. Another thing that can look like it is if there's a big life change, downsizing. It's like what we might call an adjustment disorder. There can be adjustment periods that make it look like or feel like there's depression there, but a person's mood will lift after the adjustment period. So a lot of people will think that periods of normal periods of feeling sort of down might be depression, and they're not. We're not supposed to be happy every day. If you think back to any good and amazing thing that you've looked forward to, it can often come with stressors. Think about weddings. We look forward to those, but there's often a lot of stress. There can be infighting in families. There can be all kinds of added drama that's not expected. Yet people sign up to have a wedding over and over again, even knowing that. And it's something that we look forward to. The birth of a baby, the purchasing a house, buying a car, all of these things can have stressors that make it seem difficult, even though we look forward to it. The same thing can happen with our emotions through life. You know, we'll have good days, days that aren't so good. If you become ill, there can be a blip in the road where you feel a little low, and then that increases as you get better. The one thing I can say, though, that is super important for distinguishing between that is that if you know that you can expect to feel symptoms of depression or to feel down because you are going through something like a medical condition, that you're taking certain medications that are associated with it, you can address it early and then you'll get better quicker. Okay. And that depression won't set in the same way. So these are some of the things that people say, well, I might as well just expect to feel depressed because I might have diabetes or I might have a heart condition or things like that.
I'm going to put you on hold. We have to take a break, and I want to keep on this topic. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.